Hello, one and all. Welcome to another episode of Dimes and Dozens. I guess this is technically our first episode, since our first episode was more of a teaser situation. Yeah. More of just a little, what was the word you used? Aperitif?
Aperitif, baby.
It was more of an aperitif, an amuse-bouche, if you will.
Right.
That word always makes me laugh because I am 12 inside.
Yeah.
But my name is Claire. And sitting with me in spirit, but not physically, because hashtag social distancing, is Tolliver.
Yes, that's
He's
me.
Actually two time zones away.
That's right.
I'm currently in Minneapolis. It is burning the hell up. Wanted to go ahead and say you're welcome preemptively to Minneapolis. I flew in, and then less than 24 hours after my plane touched its wheels to the tarmac, they got the number one pick. The Timberwolves got the number one pick in the draft. So just wanted to go ahead and say you're welcome to them. Clearly, I am a good luck charm.
Yeah,
and I'm going to go ahead and disregard all the years I lived here when the Timberwolves were terrible, because that actually doesn't sort of corroborate my story about being a good luck charm. So
also, when LaMelo Ball is ruining the team, keep the same energy, you know.
I think that they're going to trade the pick. That would be my guess. I think that the Wolves, if they have any sense at all, if they're going to act like they got some sense, I think they will trade the pick and get someone else. I don't think it's enough. I don't think they have enough to get Devin Booker, but I think that's probably what they're going to try and do, because that's what Kat and D'Lo clearly want to happen. And, you know, as the wise sage Draymond Green once prophesized, get Devin Booker the hell out of Phoenix. Free Devin Booker.
Right. So, he suffered a lot.
But it is really strange. 2020 is that year where sort of everything is just slightly askew of what makes sense in reality. You know, it's like, oh, it's a tornado. Oh, but it's a tornado made out of fire, you know, like, et cetera. And so I think it actually makes perfect sense that the Wolves went up in the draft for like maybe the first time in history, ? And went up in the draft and ended up getting the number one pick. It's just sort of on brand for this year, this very sort of nonsensical and just deeply bizarre calendar year that we are experiencing.
I mean, I don't know if we're jumping directly into this topic, but can you even get excited about this? You know what I'm saying? Like, we have zero faith in the Wolves' ability to manage this.
Oh yeah, let's jump right into this topic.
Let's get into it.
Why the hell not? I mean, here's the thing. They have a great front office right now, but as we've talked about, you know, a million times, Tolliver, ownership. And that's great that Glenn Taylor has talked about potentially selling the team, you know, would hard love to see Kevin Garnett own the Wolves. That would be a chef's kiss, beautiful thing. But until someone who's not Glenn Taylor owns the Timberwolves, I do feel like they're a little doomed, much in the way that until someone who's not Christopher Dolan, the owner of the Knicks, JK, James Dolan, the owner of the Knicks, until he no longer owns the franchise, the Knicks are going to be hot garbage. And I feel very similarly about the Timberwolves. I just don't foresee a silver lining to having such an incompetent owner.
Yeah. I mean, I was, of course, I'm thinking of Chicago, right? You know, we haven't been relevant in a million years. Don't tell anyone. I finally just finished The Last Dance, like literally two nights ago.
Oh, my God, Tolliver.
But
was your
like,
social calendar that busy? There's so much going on.
I was in the club.
You were in the club.
It's been 22 years. I was like, oh my God.
You were in the club, AKA on somebody's OnlyFans, because that's the only form of a club that exists at the moment.
I do subscribe to 3 OnlyFans accounts. We can talk about that later.
Off the record.
Off the record.
Anyway, Chicago, the Bulls.
Yeah,
you were saying.
Exactly. So I'm used to, you know, a level of incompetence that is sustained and painful and never ending.
And so just a purgatory of just sort of mediocrity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so relatable. I have no faith in any team, really, if it's not like, you know, if it's not Steve Ballmer making the decision or.
I mean, his pockets are so deep, dude. Like that money does talk to a certain degree, but he also just seems, Steve Ballmer seems a little bit more, a lot more willing and sort of humble in the sense of like just deferring to actual people who know what they're talking about when it comes to making the real decisions, and being smart enough to put people in place. Because it's twofold, right? Because James Dolan obviously just recently cleared out the front office and made a bunch of changes, put Leon Rose in there, et cetera. And, you know, Gerson Rosas at the Timberwolves is brilliant and great at his job. And so, you know, obviously hat tip to Glenn Taylor for that. But there's sort of two dimensions, right, of being good as an owner. It's one, having the sort of mental fortitude to put smart, capable people in those positions. But almost more so, it's being able to take your hands off the wheel a little bit and trust them once you do have those people in those places. You know, like, what good is having like a Leon Rose or a Gerson Rosas in the front office if the owner is going to second guess everything they do and be like, yeah, but, you know, yeah. It kind of reminds me, like, I'm sure you've worked service industry jobs, like anyone who's a professional musician for sure has. And like, I feel like every restaurant I ever worked at, it was my manager, you know, may or may not have been competent. It was kind of a crapshoot. But there was always an owner that was just like, had never even worked in a restaurant.
Yes.
And would come in like once a month and be like, change this, change this, change this. I don't like this. Why do we do this like this? Move this table over here. And have no sort of sense of how a restaurant actually runs and operates. And was sort of just like micromanaging, but also really stupid. And I feel like a stupid control freak is like worst case scenario for an owner in any capacity, but especially in the NBA. And that is sort of a plague that has plagued the Timberwolves, plagued the Knicks, and, you know, obviously a few other organizations in the league. So great for them that they got the number one pick. Really fucking hope their owner sells the team, because don't feel particularly, I feel cautiously optimistic, I would say, about their future, because they do have a pretty talented roster right now, and they did get a lucky break, you know, which is great. They do, like I said, have a very competent front office, but I wouldn't put too many eggs in the basket of a team that currently present day has a terrible owner, is what I would say.
Listen,
and with that,
LaMelo Ball, hear me out.
Yes.
No,
he's going to be the GOAT. No, yeah, there's nothing. I think I just inadvertently precluded myself from any of the like free Timberwolves tickets that I used to get, actually, with that little spiel. So RIP to my VIP status with the Wolves. It's okay. It's all right.
You didn't need to be there anyway.
Speaking of people making enemies, my beloved Charles Barkley dropped maybe my favorite Charles Barkley quote on Inside the NBA. He was talking about how Paul George has kind of famously nicknamed himself Playoff P. And Chuck, I think we'll roll some sound here, but Chuck said,
well, you can't be calling yourself Playoff P and lose all the time.
And that's what they brought him there for.
You don't see me walking around saying, hey, I won the championship and I didn't win it.
They don't call you Championship Chuck.
They don't call me Championship Chuck.
Championship Chuck.
I just love that man so much. Like, the ability to have that good of a sense of humor about your lack of rings is like, just, that's like what's lovable about Chuck. I mean, he spews off a lot of fucking idiocy, but ultimately, he's just a lovable dude because he doesn't take himself too seriously, which is so refreshing. In stark contrast to Shaq, that's what makes them so funny, is that Shaq takes himself so insanely seriously, which is also humorous in its own way.
Well, Shaq, you know, his kids posted like some, you know, when somebody, you know, in the crowd says that you can't shoot free throws just like your daddy. They posted that on Instagram. And then Shaq commented, you tell them I was the best to ever do it. And I was like, you know, like, chill, bro. Like,
I don't think anybody, I love Shaq. Obviously, Shaq is like probably, you know, top 10 maybe of all time. I don't think I've ever met anyone who would call Shaq the GOAT in all my years of following basketball. I don't know a single person who thinks that he's the GOAT. Have you ever met anyone who's like, Shaq is my GOAT?
You know what? Like, I think that Shaq has a reasonable argument to make there, right? You know,
okay. Make the argument, damn it.
What's he got? 5 rings? Something like that? 6? He was the most dominant player I've ever seen. You know, he was bullying everybody.
Yeah.
the numbers add up. I don't know. You got rings, you got dominance, you got the talent. But nobody said, you know.
Shaq is the greatest endorser ever in the history of the NBA. His endorsement game is out of control. Like, yeah. I don't think I've gone a full month ever in my life without seeing him in a commercial, like since childhood.
Yeah. Have you seen the General ads?
The General ads.
For a great low rate, you're going on time, go to the General and save some time.
And it's I have seen those.
Yeah, it's Shaq acting with a cartoon General.
Oh my gosh.
You are missing some really...
some really quality content.
Yeah.
I'm too busy watching the 80 million basketball games that are on every single day. Missing the good Shaq commercials. Starting at like 8 a.m. and ending at like 10 p.m. Just constant. I'm not exaggerating when I say that I have been neglecting my responsibilities because I was so deprived of basketball, and now it's back, and it's like every game, since it's the playoffs, it's like games actually have weight. So, you know, historically during the playoffs, I don't really usually miss many games. I pretty much watch them all. But they aren't usually on like 12 hours a day.
Yes, right.
So I'm usually able to have like other things going on in my life.
Yeah. It's honestly kind of nice because, you know, they're done
by. It's comforting.
9:10, I'm chilling.
On the West Coast, they're done by 9:10, yeah.
Yeah, right.
I'm currently in the Midwest. It's a whole nother ballgame. But I do really enjoy it. And I do want to just harken back to Playoff P for one moment because I was, you know, doing some digging on Paul George on his socials after Chuck said that quote because I was like, all right, is he going to respond? Like, what's the deal? And I noticed a few days earlier he had posted an Instagram that was sort of like a screenshot situation. And to paraphrase, it was like, I don't care what people think of me. Why are you thinking about me anyway? Laugh crying emoji. And the caption for this image was say it louder with like the yelling emoji, which to say it louder, your own post is like a lack of self-awareness that I almost respect. Like it's gone so far away from self-awareness that it's almost like a level of irreverence that I'm just like, wow. It's come full circle. Like maybe you don't care what anyone thinks because you don't even have a clear enough idea of what that looks like to care, you know?
Also,
speaking of Christopher Nolan, it's very deep, you know?
Come on, Inception.
Come through, Inception.
Work. Fuck is you thinking about me for anyway? What is that supposed to mean?
I don't.
Like, fuck is you thinking about me for any? Is that like self-deprecating or is it like?
It's like, don't you have better things to think about? I think, and it's like literally no, Paul George. Like all that is happening in the world is the NBA playoffs now. Like that's the only fun thing that is occurring. So like your name is one of the most famous names that exists at the moment. And yes, people are thinking about you. And no, it does not reflect poorly on them. It literally is just because you're on television every single other night.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
That's very natural. Also, like nothing says I don't care what people think of me less than posting an Instagram post that says I don't care what people think of me.
Yeah.
Like you're on social media whose explicit purpose is to broadcast to other people and sort of like filter through and get a litmus test on what they think of you. That is literally what social media does. And you're going there to say, I don't care what you think of me, but please like and subscribe. Basically, it's like what that post is. So
say it louder, baby. Say it louder.
Say it louder. What if like every time I said something like semi-comical on this podcast, I was just like, say it louder. It's my own joke.
I would retire. I would.
Like, yeah, that was really deep. Say it louder. Not to anything you said, just to myself.
Yeah, I would talk to my friends about you. I'd be like, yeah, she does this thing.
As if you don't already. You're like, God, this psycho that I host this podcast with. You know, there's been some sort of ups and downs so far in the playoffs and the road leading up to the playoffs. There's been a few surprises. The surprises appear to be evening themselves out, but because NBA Twitter is going to NBA Twitter, everyone is all up in a tizzy about the fact that the number one seeds in each conference, the Lakers and the Bucks, Both were upset in game one of round one by their 8 seed opponent. So the Bucks played, the Magic were upset in game one. The Magic minus Aaron Gordon, I just want to point out because I feel petty. And then the Lakers obviously upset by the Blazers game one.
Yeah.
At this moment. So we're taping this on a Saturday. As it stands right now, everything has sort of gone according to plan since then. So as of taping, the Magic and the Blazers have not yet won another game since that first game in the series. I believe Milwaukee currently is up 2-1 and Lakers are tied at 1-1 at the moment. Do you think that there's anything to worry about with the Bucks or the Lakers or both at the moment? Do you feel concerned about their road to potential championship caliber?
This is one thing that I really hate about basketball is that truly the best team does in fact win almost every series. You know what I'm saying? So there's no, you know, it's not like college sports where it's just like, holy shit, I can't believe this Cinderella story. Every
it's also because they have seven games when it comes
exactly.
to the playoffs. Like you can, here's, and what I said too, originally when, you know, when the Lakers lost to the Blazers and Blazers Twitter was like going off and they were like, take that Lakers fans, you think you're so good. And I was like, listen, to be in the NBA, forget the fact that Damian Lillard is a fucking prodigy, right? To be in the NBA, you have to be exceptionally good at basketball. You have to be one of the absolute best people on planet Earth at basketball to even be in the NBA, to even be at the bottom of a bench of an NBA team. You have to be basically unbelievably good at basketball. Yeah. So there is no universe in which an NBA team could not beat an NBA team at all. Like there's no chance. Like the Orlando Magic could beat anybody in the NBA in one game, I believe, because it's right. like you ultimately have the talent. You might have not have the same level of talent as the best teams, but you do have talent and anyone can win one game. The thing about these series is that, you know, you have to win 4 games against your opponent. And when there's a team that's clearly the more talented team, it's pretty difficult to impossible to beat them 4 times. You know, exactly. You might beat them once, you might even beat them twice. Pretty yeah. hard to beat them 4 times. I will say that with the Bucks, I think that, you know, Coach Bud's sort of unwillingness to make adjustments might bite them in the ass. I mean, I think it bit them in the ass last year in the playoffs. You know, not making adjustments and sort of just letting your opponent take as many threes as they want, which is, seems to be his sort of coaching mentality. Absolutely. It works great in the regular season when you're playing like the Knicks, you know, or like playing the Pelicans without Zion or playing whatever. But it's hard, a lot harder to pull that off when you're playing the best 3-point shooters in the league, when you're playing the teams with, you know, like absolute assassins from the 3-point yeah. line, and they're at playing their absolute best basketball because it's the playoffs and they're pulling stuff out of their pocket that they weren't doing during the regular season. Hell of a lot harder to get away with the we refuse to make adjustments coaching strategy. So yeah, I think that I have my doubts about the Bucks.
With the Lakers, upset, it was a, you know, sort of a close game, right? The Lakers still looked like complete ass the entire game, but it was right. like 7-point loss or something.
It was
like
a pretty close game. Yeah.
Yeah. But the Bucks, like, you know,
they got their asses whooped by the Magic.
They also got
punched in the mouth. It was wild.
Yeah. And shout out to Markelle Fultz. Oh my God. I'm so excited.
So happy for that boy. Yeah. So happy to see him thriving. Finally. Yeah. Much like many people, just getting out of Philly does a world of good. I'm going to, by the time we're done with this podcast, because what did we assess on the first episode that we had maybe 10 to 12 episodes in us total? I would say by the end of episode 12, we are going to be banned from 90% of NBA arenas. Yeah. I'm going to be banned from like multiple cities, the entire cities. I think I might have just gotten myself banned from Philadelphia.
You're banned in Minneapolis. We know that. We talked about that.
No, I'm not, because I just got them the number one seed. I'm probably banned from the Target Center.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe they have mixed feelings about me because it's hard. I I'm a multifaceted person. I did get them the number one seed with my good luck charm abilities. But then on the alternate token, I think that their owner is completely incompetent. So, you know, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. But I will say that that the Wolves do seem to be cursed. So, so grain of salt with the number one pick. You know, the Wolves sort of feel like family to me at this point. And it's sort of like, you know, even when you don't like them, you love them, that kind of thing. I really do hope the best for the Wolves. I hope everything works out. Nothing could bring me more happiness than to see Kevin Garnett own that team. So Godspeed to the beautiful Minnesota Timberwolves. I hope that this number one pick brings you everything you could ever want and more. And it won't. Moving on, before we bounce, I know we've talked a lot of basketball today, but as we discussed last week, we do contain multitudes. And I just want to cover a great American tragedy. The tragedy is that me and you, Tolliver, and everyone else who lives in this country is currently sharing air with Ben Shapiro. I can't really stress enough how much that upsets me. He doesn't deserve my oxygen. I would prefer to share my oxygen with a plant or pretty much any other living organism.
Yeah.
You know, the current administration accepted. But so he is very upset, Tolliver. I don't know if you've seen this. He's very upset about WAP. He has been very upset. I shared a tweet of his yesterday that apparently was fake, but I didn't take it down because I don't even care enough about him to have journalistic integrity. Like, I'm just like, cool, it's fake. It could have been real. You could easily said this. You're such a tool. But basically, he was deeply offended by WAP. He went on a whole tirade on his show about how offensive the lyrics are. And it's just him and his like grating high-pitched voice reading the lyrics, which is clearly hell on earth. Like, nothing could be worse than listening to that. And then he got a lot of, you know, backlash for sort of his thesis was that Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion are ruining feminism because they're minimizing women to just being about sex. And my response was, sometimes it's just fun to talk about Ben Shapiro and chill. It's fine. Yeah. I promise it's fine. But so then he was on Twitter and he was saying, he was trying to like, you know, I don't know how you pronounce this because I've only ever seen it typed. I guess it would be pawn. But do you remember in like early gaming days, like PWN? Oh, yeah. He's trying to PWN all of the haters. And he said, and he ended up PWNing himself. Because he basically said, I'm just concerned about their health. Like, if they're saying, you know, that their vaginas are this wet, like, I'm just worried about their health. And I was like, literally imagine being so bad at sex and so incapable of making a woman orgasm that you think that a wet is a medical condition. Like, and then imagine broadcasting that on the internet. Like, truly confounds me on a deep, deep level. And I just really feel for his wife because she clearly hasn't come in like however many years they've been married. And that really sucks.
I want to thank you for giving me this image of Ben Shapiro
having sex.
Oh, really love that.
But I guess Ben Shapiro kind of gave you that image. So you can thank Ben
Shapiro.
He's
wearing pants and a suit the entire time and just has unzipped.
Oh, he's never been naked. There's no chance he's ever been naked.
And that's it.
He showers in a wetsuit. I feel confident about that. I feel confident asserting that. You can aggregate that.
Yeah.
That's for real.
He's never seen a wet. He's never seen one.
Never in his life.
Yeah. Wow.
And he, to the point where he's concerned, he's feigning concern for them and you know, insinuating that they need medical attention. Yeah. And Ben Shapiro also needs medical attention. Slightly different medical attention, I would say, like, to be institutionalized, perhaps. Just like super like dainty, like I just like curtsy. I'm like, perhaps, Ben Shapiro, you might consider a shrink. But yeah, so you know, the fuckery doesn't just limit itself to the NBA, of course. And in fact, you know, the fuckery to non-fuckery ratio, I would say, is almost lowest in the NBA at the moment. It's very peaceful, very just generally joyful and happy. And every once in a while, somebody sprains their ankle, and that really sucks. But overall, I would say it's very much a solace from just the general, like, literal and figurative fire tornado that is the rest of existence. You know?
The last thing that happened in the NBA that was like, I thought truly embarrassing was Michael Porter Jr. talking about
how coronavirus
is a conspiracy. That was the last thing that I was like, okay, that's humiliating. It was like, that's embarrassing.
It is super embarrassing. Yeah. Super embarrassing. And you know, that's kind of based in like weird, like conspiracy theory, like Pizzagate shit, which I just saw that they did like a march on Hollywood Boulevard today being Saturday, where they were like, Pizzagate is real and like, stop, you know, pedophilia Hollywood. Oliver, our days on Earth are numbered. I'm just going to go ahead.
Good.
I saw a tweet that was like, there's an asteroid that is supposed to narrowly miss Earth the day before the election. I was like literally less scared of an asteroid than I am at the prospect of 4 more years of this administration.
Yeah.
10 out of 10 would prefer the asteroid.
You saw just like a tidal wave, right? Like in a, like you see in the movies, just like this giant tidal wave. I feel like I'd feel some sense of peace.
You'd be like, where's my surfboard at, bro?
All right, let's do it. As long as we're in this together.
Let's do it. I need to find out who the NBA champion is, and then I'm chill.
Well,
suspense will kill me.
I don't think it's going to be the Lakers this year, but that's sad.
Well, we'll be good, though, like because the championship is going to happen, like, end of October, election/asteroid, first week of November.
That's
works
perfect.
Out perfectly. Couldn't have planned it better.
Jim Boylan's actually going to take over as coach
again
of the Clippers, and they're going to win. Yeah, that's what's
going to
happen.
Oh man! Well, we know Brett Brown's days are numbered, because whoo, buddy, that is not going well over there.
That's not his fault. It's not his fault.
Mostly his fault, but we can save that conversation for another day because we're running out of time.
He's another cute one. I think he's cute.
You think Brett Brown's cute?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm so Googling for every, you know what? For every NBA arena I get kicked out of permanently, you are going to get like a VIP pass. You're going to get, you're going to be like the Spike Lee of like Wells Fargo Stadium or whatever it's called in Philly.
Yikes.
Because you tried to defend Philly when I shit on the city earlier this podcast, and now you're defending not only Brett Brown's coaching abilities, but also his leading man status.
Yeah, I think he's a babe. He's just got tiny little eyes. Other than that,
oh my God, how flattering. I'm trying to imagine if somebody like was like, oh my God, Claire, you're such a babe. You've got tiny little eyes, but I'd take it. I'm with it.
I could look.
No one could ever accuse me of having tiny eyes. I have ginormous cartoon character eyes, but I'm sure they could.
I have dry and tiny eyes. Me.
We're going to bleep that.
Okay, sick. The eyes.
We can only say so many times in one podcast. Okay. So another exciting thing that happened this week, non-basketball related, is they announced that the next Versus is going to be a throwback to maybe the original Versus concept, the beta Versus.
Yeah,
which would be The Boy Is Mine by Brandy and Monica, because they're gonna do Brandy versus Monica, which 90s baby in myself is delighted with that.
Yeah, I didn't know where you're going with the beta version at first, but now
it was a bit of a stretch. It was a bit of like Michael Jordan in Space Jam making that last bucket
type of
stretch, where my arm was just like 50 feet long, but yeah. I was just trying to think of a more creative way to say that that's who's doing Versus this week, but it feels like Brandy's moment again. Like she's doing, like they're doing they have Moesha on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
Now she's doing this Versus battle. I heard rumors of new music.
Yeah, I'm very with Moesha. I feel like this weird jealousy because I watched every single episode of Moesha, right, as a kid, but it was on like UPN, so I just don't know
how many
white people were watching UPN back then, but maybe
I definitely watched UPN, but go on.
And now there's like, you know, people who were not part of the brand, the Moesha legacy coming in
and just
like the Delta.
Are you saying that people are gentrifying Moesha?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. People are gentrifying Moesha.
I can't disagree with that. But I will say that much like all the other shows that I adored growing up in the 90s, when I rewatch them, there are some problematic elements. Yeah. And like, I was so excited the other day. I sat down to rewatch Moesha and I was like, oh my God, finally, like I get to relive this. Because I remembered Brandy's character. I remembered Moesha being very, and I wasn't totally wrong about this, sort of like feminist, like I read bell hooks and I'm an independent woman and I don't need anybody. And like, that was like mind-blowingly cool to me when I was younger and watching this show. But she's also kind of a fucking bitch. Like, I was rewatching it and she was like totally fat shaming her friend.
Oh my God. Oh, what's her friend's name? She got her own spinoff.
From the Parkers.
The Parkers, right. Yes.
And like, she was totally just like, at least I'm not fat. Like, they were like fighting and that's like the first thing she went to.
At least I'm not fat.
Slow your roll, Moesha. Jesus.
Yeah.
Like, I was deeply offended. I was like, wow, this is crazy. I don't remember. But that's the thing about rewatching any of those old shows, like rewatching Sex and the City, rewatching, you know, like Friends or like any of those shows is like, they did not age well.
Yo, and you know
what? They did not age well.
Speaking of not aging well, kind of, I forgot when we started talking about this that Brandy and Monica, do you know they hated each other so much? This is according to Dallas Austin in this interview series.
Okay.
And that one time before an award show, Monica decked Brandy. Just hit her in the fucking face. And then they went on stage minutes later.
Wow.
And he was like, Monica just didn't like Brandy because Brandy was like goody two shoes, like, you know, America's sweetheart. And
yeah.
Monica was like a roughneck or whatever.
And Monica's like, you should have known better than to think I would leave while you were in jail. That's Monica's brand. How many songs does Monica have about dating someone in prison? Maybe we should just start keeping track. Because I was reading an article about her recently, and it was about her being with someone in prison. And I was like, oh my God, her life has become the song You Should Have Known Better, which is one of my all-time favorite songs.
Does she date them after they're in prison? Maybe that's what happens.
Like she meets them in prison? Monica's just trolling prisons for people to date.
Exactly. Spritzing perfume, you know.
She could do way better. First of all, Monica's a fucking queen. Second of all, she's still so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Justice for Monica. But that's crazy. I mean, I guess if I had to choose between like Team Goody Two Shoes and Team I'll Deck You in the Face, like I'm probably more Team I'll Deck You in the Face. But like, I'm a Brandy. You know what it is? I'm a Brandy sun with a Monica moon. Ooh, for all my astrology fans out there, you know?
Yeah.
I'm basically a Goody Two Shoes, but if you catch me on the wrong day, I'll go Monica on your ass. Right before we go on stage.
Can you imagine? And then it's being like, the boy is mine. Like, it's cool.
Hey, I've been in bands that had problems that severe.
Yeah.
They might not have ended in violence, but they could have easily ended in violence.
Oh, my God.
It's miraculous that they didn't. All right, one more sort of saucy topic this week is that Uber basically was trying to hold its services hostage from the state of California because they're pissed that the state was telling them that they need to have all of their drivers be employees instead of contractors, aka they have to, if they're working full-time, they have to pay them benefits, yada, yada, yada. So Uber wasn't happy about that because they're a bunch of money-grubbing Silicon Valley assholes. So they're like, oh, fine, you want us to treat our employees with dignity? Fuck you then. No Uber for you. So they threatened to withhold. And then, of course, the fucking government caved.
Okay.
Immediately.
Uber wanted an appeal. That's what happened. Yeah, an appeals court said like they could like have a stay until the election or some shit like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was wild.
I thought that the state government was just like, oh, okay. Yeah, you can have whatever you want, Uber.
The state hates Uber. I mean, this law that causes uproar was clearly drafted like at Uber. They were like... They meant it for them.
What would you do if there was no more Uber, Tolliver? You say that you live in seven, like in our intro episode, you said that you pay rent at 7-Eleven, but I feel like you're in an Uber more often than you're in a 7-Eleven. It might be a close race, but I think that
I would, first things first, I would have a lot more money because right now Ubers are like $15 a ride. It's out of control.
To go what distance?
Like if I'm going to Echo Park from Boyle Heights, it's like $15. If I'm going anywhere, it's like flat $15. If I go to Washington.
Wow. Yeah. Whatever. To go like risk getting COVID from some dude like who smells like Axe body spray, hard pass.
Yeah.
I'm good.
Hold the window down. But here's the thing. So this is where like your ethics can like clash with, you know, your need for convenience or whatever. Cause I'm like, yeah, but do they have to be employees? Cause I'm like, I take Ubers so often.
You're going straight to fucking hell, dude. Exactly.
I'm like, yeah, maybe they like it.
You're like, maybe being an employee isn't such a great idea. If we're being honest, who likes being tied down with a ball and chain? Am I right, guys?
Am I right? Y'all hear me right? It sucks because I literally, and I shit you not, I'm like doing my taxes one year or whatever, but I have taken like three, like in the thousands of Ubers. I know that sounds in my
thousands
brain.
Thousands in your lifetime or?
Yeah, my lifetime.
Thousands. That doesn't sound impossible.
Does it not? Okay. Because I take Ubers, I was for a long time taking them everywhere, and then I started taking the bus and then COVID. So it's shitty. But I have some pretty wonderful Uber stories. I have, in fact, slept with three Uber drivers.
Three?
Three, honey.
Wait, here's my question. Here's my follow-up question. You've slept with three Uber drivers. Did you sleep with three Uber drivers, like three people who drive for Uber, or did you sleep with three of your own Uber drivers?
That's a trick question, and you caught me in a loophole because I've slept with three people who drive for Uber. But the cute part is, I had like slept with for two of them. I hadn't seen them in forever, and then they were like, beep beep. They literally just pulled up next to me.
Oh my god!
like, yo, what's good? And I was like, what's good? And then we had sex.
What?
Yeah.
Oh my god!
Now we had slept together before, but it was like wild. It was literally like toot toot beep beep. You want to drive somewhere real quick? And I was like, yeah, of course.
That's like the opposite of the preference setting to ride in silence. That's the direct polar opposite. Would you like to A, ride in silence, B, friendly conversation, C, fuck?
Yeah, that is incredible. And I think you know which choice I make every single time. So.
I mean, like given those choices in real life, honestly, they would probably rank number one, silence. Number two, fuck. Number three, friendly conversation. Not just with Uber drivers, but just in general. Like, if I had to rank those choices, just like with no context at all, given absolutely no context, which of these three activities would you prefer?
Incredible.
Not knowing who the other side of the friendly conversation is.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you know what? I think that's a great place to call it for today.
Woo!
I mean, what more could you ask for? We gave you championship Chuck. We gave you like back page Uber stories. We gave you Brandy and Monica, Monica trolling for boyfriend's prison. I mean,
we gave you all we have.
We left it all out on the floor.
Come on.
Oh yeah, we talked about the Timberwolves' doomed future. Yeah. I feel like this is great. This is a great time. We covered all our bases. Yeah. I have nothing left to give to Oliver, to the fine people.
Much like Andrew Wiggins, we've left it all on the floor.
You did. I hope he thrives in Golden State. I really do. Praying for you, Andrew. He is the world's cutest baby. Like if you follow him on Instagram, his child is the absolute most adorable creature. Well, I hope that you stay cool. I hope that you roll the windows down in your Ubers that you're union busting. And and I will see you next week.
Yeah.
All right, bye.
Bye.